Welcome to the Hospital of Choice podcast. This series will present hospital leaders with training, tools, and perspective to manage patient experience as measured by your HCAHPS scores. Today's session by Brian Lee, CEO of Custom Learning Systems Group, is on value-based purchasing leadership preparation.
Good afternoon, everybody, and happy St. Patrick's Day. By way of introduction, just to let you know a little bit about my background, I had a very long career as a hospital CEO and basically sat on your side of the table for many years. My passion was always the service end of what we did in healthcare. And as a result, after my first career, I joined Press Ganey Associates as a senior vice president. After having served there for a number of years, I was fortunate enough to find an organization that I really realized made a substantial difference in how hospitals approach service improvement, and that was Custom Learning Systems. And hence, I'm with you today and in introducing this webinar. I'd like to start, just as we know from our experience today, traditional service management is really moving towards an economic model that, as we can foresee, is going to create a real strong risk-reward focus for hospitals in the future. I think all of us anticipate that value-based purchasing will position a very significant adjustment factor into the federal reimbursement program. This factor is going to be weighted, obviously, and we can foresee again that it's probably going to be a factor that is going to represent about 70% based on the performance of clinical measures that we know as core measures, and about 30% of that factor will be based on our performance on HCAHPS measures of service. It seems like it's for the first time hospitals are really going to be paid for their consistent service improvement. In the new world of HCAHPS, we can no longer just strive to have a very positive impact on the patient's perception or indeed their judgment of the services we provide. We're now also going to be required to focus on their recall of service events. It's just going to be a challenging but not a daunting task. The good news is that both these very important approaches to managing service excellence are really integral parts of a strong service culture, a culture that's driven by frontline leadership. The keys to future success will be really assuring that high standards of personal performance are developed and, most importantly, owned by the entire staff. It will be equally important to assure incredible consistency in the application of these performance standards. In a sense, consistency will be a daily word from all of us in all perspectives. Jim Collins, the author of Good to Great, once stated, "Mediocrity is chronic inconsistency in organizational performance." I want to thank you for joining us this afternoon and joining Brian Lee as he explores key approaches for leaders to maximize service performance in hospitals. Brian is Chief Executive Officer of Custom Learning Systems Group, a leading provider of culture change and training solutions to healthcare organizations across North America. In his 23 years in business, Brian and his team have worked closely with healthcare organizations on three continents to improve patient satisfaction and employee retention. Brian is a passionate, lifelong student of customer service and its effects on both organizational effectiveness and staff retention. A recognized leader and researcher, he has written extensively. His most well-known books, Keep Your Nurses for Life and Satisfaction Guaranteed, have really become reading that's almost required by every healthcare professional. His next book, The Hospital of Choice, will be published later this year. Brian is speaking to us today from Calgary, Canada. Brian, if you would.
Well, Dennis, thanks very much and greeting everybody. I hope you're having a sunny day as we are. I did not tell you in advance, but I intend to start this webinar with a pop quiz. So I want you now to imagine that you are in a big room, and in that room you have your executive team, your directors, your managers, your supervisors, all of your staff, your volunteer, and yes, your board. And I'm going to ask all of your colleagues five questions. You may remain standing if you can answer yes to these five questions. You must sit down if you can't. Let's see how many might be remain standing by the end of my questions. Number one, do you know your department's latest patient satisfaction scores? What are they? Now, if I was there with you live, I would say, and don't remain standing if you're bluffing, because I may call on you in front of everybody. Question number one. Question number two, do you know how the scores have changed since the previous report? We want to know, are you conscious of how you're progressing or not? Number three, this is key. Now, by the way, the question is how many are still remaining standing. Can you identify two of the top 10 things your patients say that you and your peers do best? Keep in mind that you get a priority index, and this information from whichever vendor you get it from tells you this. Question number three, what are you doing best? Question number four, here's the key one. The question is how many are remaining standing now. Can you identify two of the top things your patients say that you and your peers can improve upon? What are they? Now, you can't bluff this one. You got to know, and I can pretty well tell when people are bluffing, so because my skunk detector is turned on. And the fifth question is, can you name your work group's current service improvement project? In other words, if I went and visited your unit where you and your peers work, and I just by random asked people, what are you working on to improve patient satisfaction that is addressed and identified from your customer service survey, how many would know? So the real question is, at this moment, out of 100 or 500 or 2,000 or 3,000 people in the room, how many are standing? Now, this is an exercise I do every week somewhere for the past 3 years plus with a leadership group in a hospital. And I will tell you that very rarely do I have anybody standing except one or two or maybe three people. Invariably, there's a CEO in the room turning red and quite not amused, let's put it that way. Now, my point of this exercise is this. Your people can't care about what they don't know about. Job number one in dealing with patient satisfaction and dealing with HCAHPS and ultimately dealing with value-based purchasing is literacy. Do you even know? Because if you don't know, how can you care? Your people can't care about what they don't know about. Let me make a few more points. Point number two, I can rarely find a hospital where any leadership knows the answers to these questions, which is shocking because then it explains why nothing is improving. My third point is HCAHPS is here, and public and most hospitals are illiterate about their patients' perceptions. And my fourth point is this, we are on the eve of value-based purchasing, and what's even worse is the lack of accountability by senior management. Now, I'm not going to get off on this accountability tangent right away because that's another issue that is embarrassing in terms of its awareness and implementation. But let's move on because the mission today is how to leverage the HCAHPS survey to best position your hospital for maximum value-based purchasing reimbursement. So let me quickly cover the agenda. Number one, we're going to look at HCAHPS at a glance and its impact on value-based purchasing. Number two, we're going to explore value-based purchasing, how to start now and have a positive impact, certainly in the area of uncertainty and possible risks. Number three, we're going to look at maintaining organizational focus on HCAHPS. How do you do that? And number four, I have 13 recommendations to keep forward momentum on HCAHPS and value-based purchasing to continuously improve, because as you're about to discover, there's a deadline approaching, and it's pretty risky business for a lot of hospitals in the United States today. So let's look at HCAHPS at a glance. We know it's a snappy acronym for the Hospital Consumer Assessment of Healthcare Providers and Systems Survey. I double-dog dare you to remember that. What we know is it was adopted in May of 2005. It was rolled out in the spring of 2006, and the first public reporting via hospitalcompared.gov began in March of 2008. Hospitals face a penalty of 2% percentage points if they fail to report results. And if you looked at Modern Healthcare in January, there was a list of the biggest losers, those who were fined up to $500,000 because they didn't get it right about properly reporting quality data. So if anybody has any doubt that Medicare is serious about this issue of public accountability and reporting, think again, because it's a very real issue for hospitals. In the past, we were mostly preoccupied with trying to achieve top box, in other words, a 5 out of 5. But with HCAHPS now, it's a 4 out of 4 for 20 of the 22 key questions and a 9 and 10 out of 10 for 2 overall questions. So, for example, domain number 5, pain control. How often was your pain well controlled 4 would be always. Number 14, how often did hospital staff do everything they could to help you with your pain? 4 would be always. So in other words, we should be aiming for always. That is the new mantra, as opposed to top box. And what it means is that your customers, your prospective customers in your market area, can click on your website, unless you're critical access hospital, it's not mandatory. And they can compare your hospital with any other hospitals, with the state average, and with the national average. And they can do this by domain. And what's happened is there's grouping of questions. Well, I will explain in a moment. Same thing with overall rating. And one of the questions I want you to think about early on is, which do your customers care more about, the clinical outcome or their personal experience? We're going to explore that a bit further. Now, this is news. It's front page news. And as a matter of fact, CMS is spending millions of dollars now to promote this concept of informed consumerism on the part of customers and prospective customers through its website, hospitalcompare.hhhs.gov. Let's look at value-based purchasing, pay for performance. So this all kind of got rolling with a pilot program by Premier Hospital Group in October 2003, where they signed on 250 hospitals who were given financial incentives for improving core outcomes. In the third year, 112 received incentive payouts, and the study shows there's a belief that 2,500 lives were saved from heart attacks as a result of this study. So for a relatively small amount of money, there was a huge impact on outcomes, and this did not go unnoticed by Congress. So in 2005, in the Deficit Reduction Act, Congress ordered CMS to report on ways to enhance value-based purchasing and to start in fiscal 2009. Now, I have a quote here from September of 2008, and one of the ranking members, the chair of the Senate Finance Committee, conducted a hearing on improved healthcare quality. And Senator Grassley said this, and I think you need to hear this. The way Medicare currently pays for healthcare certainly doesn't provide incentives to improve quality. Today, the poor quality provider gets paid the same as the high quality provider. In some instances, the poor quality provider gets paid even more. In fact, the current system encourages a high volume of services instead of quality. It is just disgraceful to me that Medicare rewards poor quality care in many cases. And because many private health plans follow Medicare's lead in how they pay providers, these flaws in Medicare spread to the entire system. In essence, what he is saying is what's shared by many senators and congressmen, and that is a disappointment that billions and billions and billions of taxpayers' dollars are being wasted on poor outcomes. So their mandate to CMS is develop an incentive program that rewards excellence and penalizes mediocrity somewhere between 2 to 5% of reimbursement. So I want you all to think right now, if you were to gain 5% of reimbursement, what that would mean to your ability to grow your organization, but what would it mean if you were to lose 5% of your reimbursement? And incidentally, how humiliating would this be for your staff and your leadership and your board of directors who are out in the community every day being accountable for you? So what we need to do is to translate performance scores into incentive payments. And right now, the game plan is this. Formula hasn't been worked out. But there would be a point system, and you receive 50% of your points for achieving the state average and another 50% a bonus for improvement. So if you're not at the state average, then you can expect you're going to be penalized. The thought process is that this would be phased in fiscal 2010, and 100% would be implemented by fiscal 2011. So again, this is coming down. It's leaving like a jet plane, and it's about to become reality. Now, at the moment, there are 27 questions for the HCAP survey, of which 5 are demographics, which means there's 22 key questions. Take away the 2 overall questions, and they're organized into 10 themes. So, for example, communication with doctors, responsiveness of hospital staff, etc. The game plan is, perhaps in the future, to reduce these 10 themes down to 7. And since being able to recommend to others is very similar to overall, there would be 1 global question, and that is overall rating. What we've learned from this now is that the hits to the Hospital Compare website have increased 8.5 times a month. So there's a huge interest in the subject. What we've also learned is there's a whole lot of cynicism. The one doctor said, well, it's time to justify existence again. Now hospitals will have to hire more spin masters to interpret the screwed-up data collection for public consumption. What a waste of money. So not everybody believes that this is going to result in any meaningful change. And, in fact, we are not seeing meaningful change yet on a global scale. What about value-based purchasing? Well, benchmarking period is currently underway, and the launch date is yet unknown. We're guessing 2010, 2011. But what we do know is patient experience will fall in place in exactly the same manner that HCAHPS followed the core measures. The date is just to be decided. And what we also know is that CMS has already embraced the concept of never events. And what I mean by that is this, that Medicare has stopped reimbursing hospitals for 8 types of events that are avoidable, such as falls in the hospital or objects left inside the body. And I have to say, I kind of agree with that, don't you? But what we are going to see is a bandwagon effect. We have known that we've had 1 or 2 Blue Cross insurers already incentivizing good outcomes for physician offices, but I think we're going to see all payers get on this bandwagon. We do expect that CMS is going to adapt HCAHPS not just to inpatient. We expect them to adapt it to ED, outpatient. They are already working on a model for long-term care. You can expect it for physician clinics and, in fact, all areas where there's public reimbursement. You may have seen last week there was an expose about the billions that are being wasted with home care, and this is going to fall under the scrutiny again of CMS. So most people agree there's a long ways to go. It's the right thing to do. So one of our first recommendations is do a financial dry run and estimate the potential cost to your bottom line right now. Because one of the questions I'll ask all executive team C-level decision makers is, do your current patient satisfaction scores mirror your clinical excellence? And generally the answer is no. Now I have on the screen here in front of you an example of a hospital. Certainly I'm not going to reveal a source that I was at not that long ago, that we put together a computer model of the data that we have to date, and they have $1.176 million at risk, of which $350,000 is attributable to patient satisfaction, keeping in mind the formula is 70% core measures, 30% patient satisfaction. So 100,000 here, 100,000 there, and pretty soon you're talking serious dollars. What we did was we had a chance to do some modeling in terms of the exposure and the risk factor for hospitals with a larger size. And if you take a look at a 200-bed hospital, is up to $16 million at risk, of which, again, slightly less than a third of that is related to the patient experience. So if you're representing a larger hospital, this is going to be a very serious matter, and make no mistake about it, it is going to happen. So if you are interested, there's a number of things we want to offer in this webinar, and one of them is the opportunity to have a risk calculation for you. So at the end of this webinar, if you visit www.customlearning.com/VBP webinar, you'll be able to request a value-based purchasing risk calculation for your hospital that you can share with your CEO and executive team, or just call Chris at 1-800-667-7325, and he will provide you with that information. Recommendation number one, benchmarking is underway now. Your scores matter today and will affect future VB calculations. So we do strongly recommend that you develop a model that calculates based on today's HCAHPS scores the dollars that will be left on the table, and we are happy to help. And feel free to call Chris. I'm on the road a lot, but I am available for the rest of the day today, here, and tomorrow, so you can call me as well directly. I'd love to chat with you. Recommendation number two, become the chief value-based purchasing offer, the CVBPO. Someone needs to be the champion. Now, to start off with, how about the chief executive officer? To start off with, how about the chief nurse officer? But ultimately, I hold the executive team, the senior management team, the A team, accountable for the results of the two global overall questions. And what it means is you've got to get ownership for everything else. So raise the flag, be courageous, challenge everyone. This is coming. Use this PowerPoint to tell people it's not a purchasing issue, it's a performance issue. and you want to begin and end with your executive team. So one other recommendation we have is schedule a value-based purchasing leadership boot camp for your leadership, especially executive, so they can gain the skills. And a lot of the concepts of a boot camp are contained in this fast-track webinar. If you'd like some information about that, again, talk to Chris about it.